Hello and welcome to this week's TES podcast. I'm Dave Speck and joining me is Amy Gibbons. Amy, hello.
Hello.
And we've got Will Stewart. Will, hi.
Hello.
And also with us, Charlotte Santry. Charlotte, hello.
Hello.
Now, normally we do the podcast on a Friday, as regular listeners will know, but last week we had a few logistical problems, so it's a Monday this week. But the advantage of that is that we've got Charlotte Santry with us. And Charlotte, you normally work the first half of the week, so it's perfect that you can be in the podcast today. And hopefully, Charlotte, you can tell us about the big story, the sort of big breaking news, and it's another £1 billion fund for school building repairs. Is that right?
Yeah, another £1 billion announcement. And this time, yeah, it's for school buildings, and it's for school building projects which are going to start in the next academic year. And it's for 50 projects. They're not all going to be completed within the year, obviously. But it's a big number. There have been questions over how far it's going to go, because there have been years and years of school funding cuts when it comes to capital budgets, which is the pot of money that school buildings comes out of. And we know that in the last budget, 500 million was taken from this same budget. And speaking to Luke Sibietta from the IFS earlier on today, he was saying that even if the whole £1 billion was put into the budget for next year, it would still leave the money only at 2015 and 16 levels because of all the cuts that have happened.
Wow.
So, and heads have already been saying that it's basically not enough. Also, since speaking to Luke, it's become clear that that £1 billion isn't going to all be put into the next year. It's going to be spread over several years. The actual amount that schools are going to get is going to be is less than the 15-16 levels. I don't know how far back we'd have to go, but it's significantly less of an impact potentially than it sounds on the face of it.
I remember that
government announcement.
Sorry, Will.
I was just going to say government announcement. Not quite as good as it initially sounded, shocker.
Shocker, yeah, I know. £1 billion announcement isn't all that. And I think especially if you put it in the context of the National Audit Office brought out a report in 2017, which said that schools needed, I think it's about £7 billion, and that was just to return them back, their buildings back to a satisfactory condition. Not like a great condition, you know, but just satisfactory, so like the roofs aren't leaking and things like that.
I mean, these own figures show that it's like 4/5 of school buildings have asbestos, for example.
Yeah, lots of, big, big worries and concerns about asbestos in school buildings. So,
But it's a step in the right direction, though. Heads seem to think, despite there needing to be much, much more.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think anyone's going to turn their nose up at £1 billion, but I suppose it's just trying to unpick the headline announcement from, you know, and work out what that's going to mean to schools on the ground. And for the 50 school projects, hopefully it will make a big impact. It's just that it's not quite as impressive as it sounds, I think.
Another one of these nice round figures, isn't it? You know,
headline-grabbing figure, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, £1 billion sounds great, doesn't it? But when you break it down, it's a lot more complicated than that. Yeah, interesting to see.
Well, Charlotte, let me ask you about another story that you've worked on very recently, and it's about this story about the £1 billion COVID catch-up fund. Most of that is not being targeted at the poorest pupils. Is that's something that you've discovered?
Yeah, so the £650 million that isn't being spent to set up the National Tutoring Programme is, it's going to be distributed to schools on a per pupil basis. So basically what that means is a school in a really rich neighbourhood is going to get as much proportionately as a school that serves lots of disadvantaged pupils. And there's an argument to say, well, all pupils have been affected by coronavirus in some way, and they all need to catch up potentially to where they would have been if it hadn't been for the pandemic. So, and that is an argument that's been expressed by people like Jules White, who's the founder of the Worthless campaign, the head teacher of Tunbridge House School. And I'm sure there are lots of others who feel the same. But there are some who feel very strongly that we know that the attainment gap is going to widen hugely because of coronavirus, with some kids at home not having access to online devices and things. And the nature of a catch-up premium, perhaps, you know, some people suggest that it should be weighted towards pupils at that end who've maybe faced the biggest problems in accessing lessons and things.
I mean, we should say that a third of this 1 billion is going towards to help specifically disadvantaged pupils, isn't it?
That's a really good point to make. Yeah, it is. And the DfE's been really clear about where that money should be targeted at. So it's this amount left over, which is actually the bulk of the money, which is, it's going to be down to head teachers to decide how to spend it. And maybe lots of them will, once they've got the money, maybe they will decide to spend it on the kids who've suffered the most. And maybe it's best that they get the choice to do that, and they get to decide what's best for their students. It's just that there hasn't been a decision made at a central level that the money's going to be weighted in any way.
Yes, so I guess
sorry, Will, go ahead.
Go on, Amy.
I was going to say, so there's no requirement then that it does have to be split evenly. It's just that it doesn't have to be weighted in any way. Is that right?
Amount that schools will get, that will be the same no matter whereabouts they're based or who their students are.
Yeah.
I guess the context, didn't it? Because I was speaking to somebody who's saying, well, you know, apart from the fact that the tutoring money, the 350,000 is, sorry, 350 million is just for disadvantaged. The other, as you've already pointed out, is why should everything why shouldn't it be per pupil? But it's a context that usually school funding, whatever it is, will go through a formula, won't it? Which always involves weighting. It's like this, wouldn't this be quite an exception, Charlotte? You're the funding expert, isn't pretty much all of it?
Yeah, I mean, there's the national funding formula that where they get most of their money from, and that's a very, very, as the name suggests, it's a quite a set formula, and there are certain ways, certain characteristics that schools have, and depending on those characteristics, they get different amounts of money. And that's, that's a principle that's you know, quite been around for quite a long time. The national funding formula itself hasn't, but even when it went entirely through local authorities, they've decided how to distribute it, the money, depending on all kinds of different factors. So yeah, it is a quite a long-standing principle. So, and I think it's such a big amount of money, you might have expected it to have been targeted in some way. So it is a bit of a surprise that they haven't. I mean, whether or not you agree with the decision, it's still, I think, different to how the government normally hands out school money.
Charlotte, just tell us about this other story about the Year 7 cash being axed next year. This is specifically, it's a £55 million grant to help Year 7 pupils who are starting secondary school behind their peers, isn't it? And that's no more, isn't it? Do we know that?
So it's been cut, basically. It's £55 million. It was aimed at Year 7 pupils who maybe hadn't met the expected standard in Key Stage 2 tests and things like that. And as of, I think the announcement was made on the 19th of June or something, that was the first time schools had heard about it, and the DfE did confirm that to me, that really was the first time they heard about it.
Which is very helpful for schools planning for next year's budget. It's such a late hour to hear that.
It's made them suspicious as well, hasn't it? As to why it's suddenly, as far as they can see, suddenly being cut, just as the department has to find £1 billion from somewhere.
Well, that brings us on nicely, Will, to our next story, actually, because I mean, this is one that you've done, Amy, and this we're going back to the other £1 billion fund, the COVID catch-up fund announced 2 weeks ago, not the £1 billion fund today, but this first £1 billion fund, there's no confirmation that it's new money, is there, Amy?
No, billion's starting to sound weird now, isn't it? Yes, like a different fund, this one. So, so we spoke to heads who said that they've sort of called for reassurance that funds within the DfE aren't being recycled after the department refused to confirm that £1 billion catch-up fund is entirely new money. So what we asked them was, could they say that money was, you know, an entirely new set of funds from the Treasury, and they couldn't tell us that for sure. All they did say, they said it's the £1 billion catch-up package will be additional to the core schools budget paid out through the national funding formula, as we've just heard a bit about, which is increasing by £2.6 billion next year. But I didn't quite answer whether it could have come from elsewhere within the DfE. Just because it's not from the core schools budget doesn't mean that it's not somewhere within the DfE. So we asked again, and the DfE told us they had nothing further to add at this stage. What we do know, though, is that that scrapped £55 million grant that Charlotte has been talking about, yep, is not going towards the £1 billion right. catch-up package. We know that. So as it stands, we're just waiting for any kind of further clarification on exactly where this money is coming from. We haven't got any yet.
Yeah. So unless they come along and say, actually, yes, this is all new money from the Treasury, then it's got to have come from something else, hasn't it? It's not just here's a boost for education. It's they're shifting things around. So something's got to give elsewhere.
It can't just.
So I guess it's.
So it's either all come from the Treasury or it's come from the Treasury and somewhere else. And at the moment, we don't know where that somewhere else is. Apart from knowing it's not that Year 7 fund, which is a relatively small amount of money in comparison. So
in the past, they've raided the capital budget to increase the money elsewhere. But that seems unlikely, given that they've also had to find £1 billion for capital funding. So, yeah, it remains a mystery.
Not very clear, any of it, is it? Which makes you wonder if it's about as clear as the testing figures.
Yeah, I think it's, we wanted that clarification. We asked them quite a simple question. And at the moment, I think the response that we got from, so we spoke to Jeff Barton at Askell, he said it would be helpful to clarify where the money had come from so there's no unfortunate surprises that emerge at a later date. So I think there's an element of, I wouldn't say suspicion, but maybe scepticism. I'm not sure about whether this is entirely new money and real need or calls for reassurance on that, because at the moment schools feel that needs to be clarified at such an uncertain time.
Magic money tree is the only answer.
Could be. They could have planted the seed.
Should we just move on briefly to the big news story over the weekend? And it's the appointment of the new Labour's new shadow education minister.
Who is she, Dave?
Well, she's called Kate Green. You might have heard mm-hmm. of her. She's a Manchester area MP, and she was the shadow minister for child poverty strategy until last week. But interestingly, she's got a long history of addressing educational disadvantage. And she was chief executive of the Child Poverty Action Group, among other jobs, before she was elected an MP in 2010. And you think that it might be interesting to see what our plans are for dealing with this widening attainment gap between disadvantaged children and their classmates under lockdown. So that could be fairly interesting. But I for one was, for work reasons, was a bit saddened to see Rebecca Long Bailey go, because had a 1500
wasn't it? Sorry.
Well, look, I had a 1500 word profile piece about Rebecca Long Bailey ready to run on the TES website, and so that's put paid to that.
It was my fault. I was just waiting for the right moment, and the moment definitely passed.
All that work, Will. Cheers. Thanks.
Let's try and squeeze a bit out of it now, Dave. Having chatted, did you do the interview? She was appointed under lockdown, Rebecca Longbeck. Yeah, no. Yes, she was, wasn't she? Was, yeah. Of course, because it was after the Labour leadership election. So you met her over Zoom, did you? Like we're speaking now? Or?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we had a chat from her home on Zoom. And she just told me about some of her plans that she had for coming out of lockdown. And one of the things that caught our eye, if you remember, was that she talked about next year's GCSE and A-level candidates should not be made to catch up, and that the syllabus should just be cut. And you would wonder whether that would be quite popular with teachers, because it would obviously cut their workload. And another big idea was that she wanted to see how quickly academies could be brought back under local authority control. She seemed to have been going a bit further than Angela Rayner, her predecessor, on that note. And, you know, she was concerned about the lack of control over teacher paying conditions in academies, the commercialised aspects of academies. And, you know, it didn't sit right with her. And, you could say that these are sort of, you know, that was almost a Labour policy that was in their manifesto pre-election. But, I mean, you just wonder how much Kate Green will take on those sort of ideas. And, I mean, clearly she's going to come at the child disadvantage problem quite strongly, given her background.
Is it fair to say that she wasn't necessarily one of the expected choices? Because I'd heard sort of other names on social media and elsewhere sort of thrown around, and personally, I didn't know much about Kate. So
it was, and there were names as before. People like Emma Hardy and Tulip Sadiq, and those are sort of the main sort of contenders, I thought. But it was a bit of a surprise. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she'll have a free run if she's trying to work out how to position things with teachers. I mean, she will have seen how a lot of the things that her predecessor suggested in those short, 2.5 months that she was in, how they went down. I mean, I thought, I don't know about you, I didn't think she got off to an amazing start, Rebecca Long Bailey. I remember she had a lot of core supporters that would support her for whatever she did. But I remember, does everybody remember when she tweeted that massive, huge, long list of Gavin Williamson, long list of questions for Gavin Williamson, with a wink, wasn't it?
So this will keep him busy for the weekend.
Yeah, this is a bit seemed a bit of a strange turn to take. But
yeah, I think people weren't completely sure about her as well, because obviously she'd gone for the Labour leadership, and I think some people out there were a bit sceptical, feeling like she'd been given the job because she didn't get the leadership, you know, she didn't get to be leader, and so she'd been given another sort of high-level job.
She said to Tez, she said to me that it was all forgotten about, and she was really sort of privileged. She felt really privileged to have this education portfolio, and that she was really going to take it on. And she felt it was one of the most important jobs in Shadow Cabinet.
So, she's right.
Absolutely. I mean, what's teaching? It's the most important job in the world, isn't it? And you know, the second most important job, journalism. So that's all us covered, isn't it? Have we rambled on enough for one week, or is there anything that's caught anyone's eye
Well, we've only got 4 or 5 short days to wait, haven't we, till the next instalment. I'm sure there'll be back on Friday again.
Yeah, okay, well look, thanks for listening, we'll see you soon.